look to become passionate about sparking the missional discipleship quality within people. There are all these beautiful facets of God's love that we all get to experience in community. And how blessed am I that I have got to be put in this role to awaken the avenues in people in which they can love people better in the name of Jesus. Almost put yourself on a mission to find the thing that you know is going to spark their excitement and spark their passion, and then just throw yourself into to making that a reality to them. It's incredibly rewarding. It's organic and it's fun. And when you can equip the saints to do that good work and then you see that happen, oh, praise God for that. It's just so much fun.
On today's episode, I sit down with Seth Medeiros right here on The Avenue for Faith. Seth Medeiros is the Spiritual Formations Minister for the Gateway Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. I sat down with Seth to ask him about his passion and excitement to empower and equip the saints for ministry. My first question to you, Seth, what is a Spiritual Formations Minister?
It's a lot of learn by doing. I have had conversations like this with other people, and I've taken what they've said, and I've taken things that I've tried, and I'm very comfortable letting things fail. I'm very comfortable saying this didn't work. I want to try this. But I'm also very much talking to my people about it. I'm not sitting in kind of a bubble saying, let me create something for all of you. I realize part of the job is the process of doing the job. What I mean by that is all of these lunch conversations and all of these being in people's homes as a family, building relationships with them, and then realizing, pulling what they need out of our lives together. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like, hey, what kind of Bible class do you need? But I'm spending all this time with my family in relationship with people. And it's almost this organic, I feel like this is what we need in our Bible classes. This is what we need in our life groups. This is what we're kind of looking for. And so having that fluidity has really allowed me to be creative and try new things. And then, so I don't really have a formal committee, if you will, but this is a job that has massive input from our congregation, massive amounts of input. I have a very much an open door policy. And then one of the facets that I've really enjoyed about it is really locking on to Ephesians 4, where it says, you know, hey, you teachers, you preachers, you evangelists, you shepherds, you know, your job is to equip the saints to do the good works. That verse is resonates with me. And so I see my role as saying, how can I equip the saints? How can I do that? And that basically means that my door is open for anyone in our congregation to walk in and say, I feel passionate about this. I feel a giftedness. I want to do this. And then I say, how can I equip you? How can I empower you? And sometimes that's monetary. That's what I use my budget for. I funnel it into some of these new endeavors if I can, if they need a little bit of help in that area. Sometimes it's offering logistics counsel, you know, because I'm used to planning events and putting things together. That's an experience I have. So I can offer them that sort of help. Sometimes it's offering the theological help or the resources or the curriculum. And so there's a sameness to it in that this is what I do, but there's a difference in it in that it's what my congregation is kind of what it is that they're passionate about. Where are they? And when they, and they're the ones that are out in the community. You know, I use this example. I've got people at church that are teachers, people at church that are in the medical profession, and I've got vice presidents at huge banks. I don't know what their life is like. I'm not that person. I don't know what it is to be a Christian in the medical field because I've never been there. But I know that I can provide them encouragement if they need it. I can directly answer, you know, the spiritual questions they have. I can let them tell me about their experience, and together we can work on that and we can mold that. And one of our guys that is actually the vice president of this bank that that I was talking about. You know, I remember he links me his notes, and he has crafted this entire curriculum, a beautifully theological curriculum about being a Christian in the corporate world. And he's like, hey, tweak this, work with this, find me, you know, help me with the theology on this, you know, help me craft this into a Bible class while I'm bringing in, you know, all of that. There's such a joy that comes with doing that and seeing people say, you know, hey, I'm going to be a Christian in the corporate world. I can help with this. And then I am a person that just kind of walks behind them, beside them, or in front of them, whatever they kind of need me to do.
Seth, how do you move members towards greater discipleship and finding their ministry?
I love this question. And I actually think that this question is at the crux of some of the biggest flaws that I see in kind of our current church expression. And this year, particularly 2020, has really challenged that. You know, what is church? And people would say, well, the church is the body of Christ. But what we've kind of revealed is deep down, a lot of us still see that Sunday morning, you know, time that we get together, this is church. And if we don't have this, if this is disrupted, we don't know what the rest of everything looks like. So I've always tried to challenge that. I challenged that as a teenager. And of course there, it was more not wanting to go when it was early in the morning, but, you know, challenging that there. But I've always kind of challenged it and saying, you know, when we come together, it should be for us to absolutely encourage each other to create those relationships, but it has to be to, again, empower and equip the saints to then go and do the good works. Those good works are not sitting there in the seat. The seat is where you learn about the tools that you need and the way to grow in following Jesus that then take you out. So it's kind of, not to rehash what I said, but it's kind of like asking that question, okay, you know, we actually did this whole thing missional, and it was funny because people, you know, it was a pretty heavy buzzword a couple years ago, and the word makes perfect sense to me. It's almost the verbing of missionary, and then it's also recapturing that missionary is not going over, it is going overseas and doing that, but it's also literally going to your job. You are on the mission field, which is the world, bringing about the kingdom of God through your presence, to the way you love, through the way you interact with people and your relationships. So to me, you know, the word missional made perfect sense. It was not difficult to grasp. What do you mean? It means being like Jesus in your daily life and everything. So we did have, you know, we had fun times trying to say, well, you know, but what is missional? What is missional? And I'm like, missional is just what we're called to do. It's the good works. It's going out and being like Jesus. So anyways, I'm glad we've come to a place where we can use that in our normal vernacular. And I do think it is completely interlocked with being a disciple. Because if you are a true disciple of Christ, if you are following in the footsteps of your rabbi, you know, Jesus, and he is your teacher, then you are going to be on mission everywhere that you go in every interaction. And so much of what we want to do is let people know that when they go to their jobs, when they go to their schools, so, you know, when talking with teenagers, you know, and then another example, when I was a youth minister, I would always tell teens, you know, they would say, well, hey, I can't make this retreat, or I can't make Wednesday night Bible class because I'm playing basketball. All right. So in years past, we would actually lament the competition between basketball and their presence at the Wednesday night class. That's always existed. That's always existed. Instead of getting hung up on that, I began to focus in on the teen and saying, okay, well, here's the deal. All I was going to do Wednesday was train you how to act in the name of Jesus while playing basketball. So now you are putting in practice the very thing that I would be teaching you on Wednesday night. So no, I'm not going to get upset that you're missing a time of teaching to do the thing I've taught you to do or that I'm working with you on. So let's engage that. You know, and so what that means for me is finding alternate times on a Wednesday night to work with that teen, or alternate times to work with the adults and have that time, saying, let's talk about what it looks like, you know, to do this. And then, you know, an example I remember of, and we've had it's a church attendance debate. When we were having it, we were kind of having this thing where we had people that were like, you know, so-and-so isn't coming on Wednesday nights. Are they still a leader? Are they considered this? And I remember thinking, you know, man, so church attendance is the mark of our leadership. Well, this person that they were talking about had taken a new job at the company that they were at that was having them work later on Wednesdays, but was putting them in touch with a completely new group of people, putting him proximate to a group of people that he told me, I think I can get to him in the name of Jesus. So what I feel my role is to not shame that person, to not be at my class on a Wednesday night, to not do that, but to say, okay, how can I help you with that? What can I do? Is there something we can hub out of our church that gets them? Is there something, is there a resource I can give you? Can I pray with you? You know, I mean, it really is just kind of providing that space to where I want to be what they asked me to be while making sure that I'm empowering them in that thing. Because to me, that's what following Christ is. It's getting together and learning and encouraging each other, but then getting out there. And our churches are full of people that we don't need to just tickle their ears, or we don't need we need to provide for them the ways that they can go into their lives, which we may not totally understand, but that's why we have relationships with them. And say, here's how you can best reflect Jesus. Another facet of this is offering the encouragement and the presence when they're very discouraged by the fact that they're not able to do that. Okay. So they, you know, I've been working with this person, or I've been trying my hardest to do this. I'm now discouraged. Well, I think that part of my role is then to come alongside them and offer them that sense of encouragement, offer them that sense of hope, to sit with them and to let them know that that's absolutely okay. And so that's how I've kind of taken the pastoral part of my role, you know, is how can I walk with you when you're trying everything you can and you're meeting the resistance that we need to expect that we're going to have.
Let's talk about recruiting and training. How do you recruit and then train teachers?
Man, let me tell you. So this is something I love doing. And this is a facet of this job. Again, not something that we put down in a job description because we didn't really think about it until we were doing it. One of my favorite things to do is teach teachers and to train life group leaders. I love doing that. And it's because I love to teach. I'm excited about teaching and I've been doing it for a while. So I love sharing that with people. And I love seeing somebody who, you know, has a little bit of a spark for something, that they're passionate about something. And the first thing I want to do is say, hey, let's chat for a little bit and let's get it to where you're so excited about that spark that you're teaching, whether you know it or not. And I love seeing that in somebody. But what really brought that to light was, again, the youth ministry to adult ministry shift that I made. In youth ministry, everything is hyper-focused to really making sometimes I think it's too hyper-focused on giving our teens, you know, throughout elementary school, they're memorizing verses, right? They're memorizing all of the Bible stories. And we have this massive amount of expectation that we put on it. And then when you're a teen, it was crazy. When you're a teen, you remember, we called them everything. Some churches called them Timothy classes or what, where, you know, you need to teach the young men to pray and you need to teach the young women to do this, but, you know, all of that stuff. And then they go to college and then we just expect you to do it or don't do it. And we weren't offering anything. And so then we start saying, man, you know, hey, have you ever thought about teaching? And it's almost like, well, I've never, I mean, I remember being taught how to pray, you know. And then I kind of cracked the joke, man, you know, I don't know in our particular, I don't know if y'all engage in leader, LTC or Leadership Training for Christ, but we've all heard of LTC. We've all heard of Lads to Leaders. We've all heard of these things. And I started kind of cracking the joke that, man, after spending time with adults, we need that for them because we just say, oh, you're an adult now. You can choose to do this. why aren't we prepping our people? You know, why aren't we giving them these avenues to learn how to do this? So it kind of sparked out of this silly, I remember cracking a joke to the church. Hey, I'm going to make you guys memorize verses like we do our kids. And what's funny is most of y'all will be like, no, I'm not doing that. Now let's talk about pride. And you know, so the first thing that I did is I got my current crop of teachers that love to teach, people that already did it. I kind of got them all together and we wrote a teacher training curriculum all together. Like we put something together and then we offered a teacher training. We invited anyone who has ever been interested in teaching, anyone who has ever thought about teaching, anyone who has ever wrapped their mind around teaching. You know, what do you want to do? Come and hear this class. And in this class with this curriculum, I'll try to hit it. But I mean, we hit on everything. We hit on lecture class, discussion classes. We hit on, you know, choosing your topic. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And I was really proud of, I was really excited about the first session we did. And we did this training. And then we give them all of this information. And the way that I crafted some of our Bible classes is I would say, if you're interested in teaching, let me know. And then I partnered them with one of my experienced teachers and they taught a class together. So my experienced teacher kind of walked alongside the new teacher and they got that experience without, you know, us kind of learn by doing, but also not fully thrown into the deep end sort of thing. And in two trainings, my teacher pool expanded exponentially because what I realized is sometimes people have never been given the opportunity to preach. I mean, excuse me, to teach because it's just no one's ever thought to ask them, or they've been asked to teach and they've wanted to, but they've not quite known exactly how to do, you know, certain things. How do you craft certain things? And they're just too adult to ask for help. You know, I would love to do this, but I would feel like I'm a failure if I told you I'm nervous about it. So providing that opportunity was really, really neat. And then the main thing that I remember telling people is when you begin to teach, what are you excited about? Get excited about that and then share it. We are hardwired as humans to share that which we love. Whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, you know, whether you get down with the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, you know, no matter what you are wired to share what it is that you love in some capacity. Find that thing, and teaching for you might actually not be standing in front of the class, but helping the teacher write the curriculum. Maybe you need to do something on, so you're still teaching to me. You're engaging with this. And so, you know, I have this pocket of people that will tell you they have no desire whatsoever to stand in front of a class and teach, but they're the ones that I will send all of my classes to help me tweak them, to help me work with them, to share resources. And I think that that empowers them to teach without having to do what we have physically said is teaching, and that's standing in front of that. And then I do the same thing with my life group leaders, just with the tweaks of what life group leading is, which is a little bit of teaching, but also a little bit different. I've got some excellent teachers that I actually am not a great life group leader. You know, I love to teach, but I'm not a great life group leader because I tend to overteach. Whereas I've got some people that are so good at leading life groups because that intimate setting is more comfortable to them, that if you stood them in front of a formal classroom, they're just going to freeze up. Identifying that and then always looking for it. So I'm also, by the way, I handle all new members. So when new members come or when people are interested in becoming a member, I'm the one that approaches them. And so that way I'm able to begin asking them some of these questions. Hey, what are you interested in? What do you love? Is teaching something you'd ever be interested in? And life groups ever, here are the avenues in which we could do that. And so that way I'm trying to always kind of keep my pulse on what's going on. What I try to do is once a quarter, we offer a teacher training and a life group leader training. If you want to teach or do a life group, you have to attend one of those at one point. Not only does that allow us to kind of work with you on teaching stuff, but it also allows our shepherds to come in and kind of say, this is who we are as a church. This is where we're at theologically. This is where we're at, which we give our teachers a lot of freedom. But, you know, that way we're still letting them know, no, we're going to be very unified in what we're presenting and everything like that. And that way people don't have to wait that long. and they still get to be a part of that and everything. So that's probably the thing that I was saddest that got stopped because of how we're doing, but I'm the most excited about launching again. I love teaching teachers and having those conversations. I love watching it click and seeing the spark in a 40-something-year-old, 50-something-year-old, 60-something-year-old person who's gone to church their whole life, who's always had this thing, but has maybe waited for this one opportunity. It's very, very, very exciting for me.
Now, you mentioned life groups. I get asked this a lot. What's the difference between a Bible class and a life group, especially at Gateway?
I think that there are absolutely some similarities between a small group and a class, but I think that there are some massive differences too. At Gateway, they are designed differently. Our classes, we actually went through a period of time where we called our entire adult education Gateway 101. Because we were saying, no, we're bringing weight to what we are teaching here, and so our classes are we try to almost teach them on what we would consider like a biblical collegiate level. Like we are choosing and writing curriculums and resources. We are distilling that to where it's very, very accessible. But we want our classes to be incredibly engaging. We offer different types of classes so you can experience. We don't do age-based classes. Now, ages tend to, you know, go to the class they prefer. So if you walk into one class, it could feel like a young adult class. If you walk into one class, it could feel like an older class. You can go in any class that you want, but obviously it takes on those dynamics and the relationships, you get comfortable with that. But we have a class, we'll make sure that we're offering a class that is absolutely discussion, a lot of give and take and a lot of fluidity in the conversation. We want to hear what you think. We want to engage that. We make sure that we offer classes that are lecture. If you're wanting to just hear, you know, some exegetical breakdown of the prophets, you know, that whatever we choose, you can come to this particular class. And then we offer some that just kind of offer a myriad of different things based on the personality of the teacher. I have found that Sunday morning and Wednesday night classes, there is absolutely a relational aspect to that, but completely different than what I experience in a life group. The life group for me is the way we do our life group training and the way we work. I mean, you're going into each other's home. I actually think the life group is one of the purest first century expressions of how we do it. And we wouldn't call it life group. I mean, it's church. You are coming together in a home and you are breaking bread together and you are praying together and you are worshiping together and you are studying. And I mean, all of the things that are laid out in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, right? You're doing these things. But what I love about life groups is even when you conclude on a Sunday night, those are the people you're going to call on Monday when you lose your job, or on Tuesday when you're having trouble with your kids, or Wednesday when, you know, you need a ride somewhere. You see what I'm like? Those, now I'm not, you'll get that in church at the bigger, you know, grander thing. But, you know, our membership is 400 people. We love that. But in your life groups, those are the ones that you're going to be walking through your Mondays, your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, your Thursdays, your Fridays with. And so there's an intimacy of having people in your home. In 1 Peter, he literally says hospitality is a spiritual gift. And I think that there's a great, beautiful truth to that. There's something about walking into a home, being welcomed into a home as family, and again, having that meal. Now, life groups are also structured different. We actually give freedom of the setup of the life group to the life group leader. If the life group, some life groups are based fully around a meal and games and just spending time together, and then a study that could be based off of what the sermon was or a curriculum. We use Right Now Media, which is, you know, kind of a Christian Netflix. I have a gateway tab where I've curated, you know, this is what the staff recommends. But then Right Now Media also allows you to upload your own stuff. So everything we've done for during COVID online, we've recorded all of it. Our Wednesday classes, everything, we can make that accessible on Right Now Media. So it basically houses all of our tech so people can still watch it on their apps and stream it through their TV as they've been doing. We give them, our life groups have a lot of freedom in that sort of thing. Now, we encourage them to do certain, we encourage them to worship together. You'd be shocked at how many adult life groups don't worship because there's almost this oddness to just singing together in a living room. But we've really encouraged doing that and offering avenues for that sort of thing. So again, lots of similarities in a Bible class, at a building, and a life group. I don't think that I am not for one over the other. I believe it's absolutely both and, not either or at all. I believe that, you know, I love that we're a Bible class church. We think that saying we're going to go to a location and for an hour, we're going to crack open scripture and we are going to get into it. And we're going to find out what brilliant theologians are thinking. And we're going to find out, we're going to dialogue about this stuff and grow. That's essentially important to me, just like inviting four young families over to my house on Sunday night to watch The Chosen together, a brilliant, you know, movie about Jesus, and then just break that down in the intimacy of sitting in a living room with a cup of coffee. Very both and on those.
Seth, thanks for this. What do you want to leave everybody with? What's the last bit of advice or thought or encouragement?
Anybody who's listening to this that is interested in this role, you know, that saying, okay, what does this look like? You know, I jokingly tell people, because people say, what's a spiritual formations minister? I'm like, well, I'm like to form people spiritually, whatever that looks like. I was like, okay, fine. I'm an associate pastor. That's what I am. And that helps people. Oh, okay. Yeah. But get excited about that spark in people. Get excited about, you know, and we've created our staff to do this. Like I say that basically my job is to put my fingers in as many pies as I can, you know? And luckily my leadership is, they're so in tune to my mental health. They're so in tune to my, and if they feel like I'm going too far, they will, they're like, hey, dial it back. You don't have to be involved in all of these things. But what I would say is look to become passionate about sparking the missional discipleship quality within people. It has helped me out in my own walk so much. It's helped me enter into this job and not have to combat a lot of my natural cynicism that I deal with. The verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, you know, that's the very, you know, famous God is love section of scripture. But there's a part of that verse where it says that the love of God is made complete in you when you love one another. And I remember reading that and saying, okay, so there's an entire facet of God's love we will never experience if we aren't loving people. And there's a challenge there to our very individualistic ideas of what Christianity is. That verse has almost become a theme verse in my own life, saying there are all these beautiful facets of God's love that we all get to experience in community. And how blessed am I that I have got to be put in this role to awaken the avenues in people in which they can love people better in the name of Jesus. Then it becomes personal to me, you know, and I won't list off names, but if you were to ask me about, tell me how your ministry is going, I would want to list off the names of the people that I get to do that in. So keeping that excitement and keeping that passion and keeping that, that sense of every time you get to interact with one of your members, almost put yourself on a mission to find the thing that you know is going to spark their excitement and spark their passion, and then just throw yourself into making that a reality to them. It's incredibly rewarding. It's organic and it's fun. And I would say, You know, because people say, look, we're in the churches of Christ. We have a very hierarchical sort of ministry, right? You got your children's minister, your youth minister, your associate minister, your senior minister. We don't have that here. People often ask me, hey, are you going to ever consider becoming a lead pastor? I don't ever say the word never, but I can say if the joy I have doing this job, you know, that allows me to do this sort of thing, I honestly think that I could just keep doing this because it's never going to end. There's always going to be new sparks and new creativity to tap into with the people I get the joy of worshiping with. And when you can equip the saints to do that good work, and then you see that happen, oh, praise God for that. It's just so much fun.
On our next podcast, we're going to get to the heart of the heart of what we do. What does it mean to be biblically rooted? To teach the importance of Bible reading, how to interpret the Bible, and how to make sure the Bible is the foundation of everything we do. Next up, Biblically Rooted on Avenue for Faith. Thank you for joining us on the Avenue for Faith. Thanks for joining. No one has ever loved you like Jesus Christ. I hope you feel that love in every sermon that's preached on this podcast. You can find more sermons, transcripts, study guides at nathanguy.com. Please stay tuned for another lesson and rest in the love of Christ.